The date was January 1925. The place was Nome, Alaska. 6-year-old Richard Stanley was showing symptoms of diphtheria, signaling a possibility of an outbreak in the small town of Nome. The next day, when he passed away, Dr. Curtis Welch decided that he must begin immunizing the children and the adults with an experimental but effective anti-diphtheria serum. It wasn't long before his little supply that he had ran out. Well, the nearest serum was in a town or in the city of Nananya, Alaska, approximately 1,000 miles of frozen wilderness away. Amazingly, a group of trappers and prospectors volunteered to cover the distance with their dog teams. They operated in relays from trading post to trapping station and beyond, and one sled started out from Nome while another carrying the serum started in Nananya. Oblivious to the frostbite, to fatigue, to exhaustion, to the teamsters, they mushed relentlessly until after 144 hours in minus 50 degree Fahrenheit, the serum was delivered to Nome, Alaska. At 5:30 in the morning, Dr. Welch woke up to a man pounding on his front door carrying a 20-pound fur skin wrapped case. As a result, only one other life was lost to what could have been fatal epidemic. Their teamwork had given an entire town the gift of life. And we've been looking at the book of Titus, and Paul is about to wrap up this inspired playbook to his understudy named Titus, and he concludes with some really practical teaching about teamwork. And as teammates, we must never assume or presume that things are going to be easy. Sometimes our expectations of others are not met. We can get discouraged because, let's face it, we are selfish by nature and tend not to always think the best of others. We need the help of God in order to function as a family of God. So today, let's look at the final verses in Titus chapter 3. This is what they say. As soon as I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, because I have decided to winter there. Do everything you can to help Zena, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way, and see that they have everything they need. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives. Everyone with me sends you greetings. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. I don't know about you, but I see five team-building exercises that we can benefit from here today. The first is a simple one. If you're going to be part of a team, you just can't go it alone. It just doesn't work that way. As soon as I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me in Nicopolis, because I've decided to winter there. Now, as the winter's approaching, traveling across the sea becomes more dangerous. And he wants to make sure that Titus will be able to spend some time with him. And this phrase, do your best, is a command with a sense of urgency. You could almost translate it as, do your utmost to come. And in order for that to happen, he's planning to send one of two men to take over the task that Titus is doing in Crete. See, Paul was into personal discipleship. Titus is under stress from the complete mess in Crete. And so Paul wants him to come away to get refreshed. He's really following the example of Jesus, because when the disciples were involved in ministry, they returned a bit tired, and we read in Mark 6:32 that Jesus got alone with them. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. And I'm sure that Paul really wanted this to happen. He wanted to review what's going on in Crete and proceed to equip Titus for his next assignment. Paul did the same thing with Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, "Do your best to get here before winter." See, Paul wasn't a lone ranger. Did you know that the apostle mentions over 100 people by name in his letters? Paul, he was a team player. A total team player. He partnered with people. Even though Paul was an apostle, he worked in tandem with believers from all classes. Friendships with faithful followers can help us grow. Did you know that the church was created to be a community of interdependent people? Romans chapter 12 says, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other." We need each other, just as Proverbs 27 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." We can't go it alone, so don't even try. The best friendships develop through shared experiences. Most of Paul's relationships were cultivated in the crucible of ministry partnerships. Some of the best friends that you will ever have are those you serve side by side with. People are more important than programs. Paul doesn't tell the church to keep the programs going. I've yet to find that verse anywhere in Scripture. Keep the programs going. Find better programs. Those verses aren't there. But he tells us to keep our friendships fresh. Paul bears his heart in 1 Corinthians 16. "I do not want to see you now." Pardon me. "I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits." He wants to have that friendship. And it's beneficial to have friends who are different from us. You know that Paul was friends with a doctor. He was also friends with a runaway slave. He worked with Jews. He worked with Gentiles. He was closer to some than others because most were faithful, but there were a few that were fickle. And so authenticity is key to lasting friendships. Paul was a real person who sent a real letter to a real person named Titus. The Bible didn't just fall out of the sky, but contains personal letters filled with warmth, filled with emotion. And Paul wanted to further train Titus, but he also craved that ability to just meet with him and be his companion. Just be friends. God uses notables and what some people call nobodies. It's interesting that the two men mentioned in Titus chapter 3, verse 12, one of them, he is well known. The other, haven't got a clue. Complete mystery. We don't know anything about Artemis. Well, Tychius has an incredible resume, an incredible spiritual resume. Paul had yet to make up his mind which one he was going to send to Crete to replace Titus, but Tychius was the obvious choice. We know that from scriptures, he has some previous experience. He was actually Paul's personal UPS guy. Tychius delivered letters to the Ephesians, to the Colossians, to a man named Philemon. One of his jobs was to tell people how Paul was doing. And in turn, he would give Paul information about the churches, making him Paul's press agent. He was an encourager. He looked for ways to come alongside those who were discouraged and opportunities to encourage and affirm believers. We need more people like Tychicus in the church. We need more believers who are willing to take and come alongside and encourage those who are discouraged, take the opportunities to encourage and affirm people. We need more encouragers in the church, because when we don't encourage, we can actually contribute to the hardening of someone's heart. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." So are you an encourager? Do you build others up with your words? Or are you like a crab? You know that crab fishermen know that when they catch their crabs, they don't have to put a lid on the tank? Because if one crab gets the idea to try and crawl out, the others will grab him and pull him down. Are you a crab? Or are you an encourager? Tychicus was sent to give Timothy a break in Ephesus. Like a relief pitcher, he was fresh and ready to go. And so Paul also called him a dear brother, a fellow servant, a faithful minister. He counted on him on several occasions. And nothing, absolutely nothing negative about him is ever stated in Scripture. God does not ask us to be brilliant or beautiful, but longs for us to be available. He doesn't care if we're famous. He just wants us to be faithful. Where are you? Well, the second exercise is to give generously. Do everything you that you can to help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way to see that they have everything they need. We know a lot about one of these guys. Once again, and not a lot about the other. Zenas, he's a lawyer. Paul says to help him. Lawyers, they just need help. Being a lawyer means that he was either an expert in either the Old Testament law or in Roman jurisprudence. So that's about all we know about Zenas. But he says, help him with everything. In Acts 18, verses 24 and following, it tells us that Apollos was a Jewish believer who was well-trained, who had a tremendous knowledge of the Scripture. And when he spoke, he did so with incredible passion. He taught accurately. He was bold. One of the best things about him is that he was open to learn more. Zenas and Apollos were essentially traveling missionaries. They came to Crete and now need givers so that they can go on to the next place. But the Cretan Christians, well, Paul tells them that they are to do everything to help them. And this word has to do not just with giving them lots, but with doing it quickly. We're not to wait to give, but to do it generously, to do it quickly, to give generously so that missionaries can be sent on their way, so that ministers can work without worry, so that God's word can be spread. The idea is to send forward on one's journey and to do it with earnestness. Give generously. You know that one of the clearest sections of Scripture on the importance of giving generously is found in the little book of 3 John. It says this, "Dear friends, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It is for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth." John doesn't tell the people that they need to give generously, but it's there. To give, to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Sadly, too often we as Christians, our manner worthy of God and our gifts worthy of God are just the pocket change. Because we don't want to give, because we're afraid that we're going to lose. We're going to lose out on something. We're just not going to be able to survive on our own. But God says, give generously. Give everything that they need. The last time I checked, ministers do not need private jets, Rolls Royces. And sadly, I say, a minister does not need a Lotus. Man, I wish we did. But we don't. We just don't need these things. And Jess and I have been on both sides of this. Throughout the years here, we have been bowled over by the generosity of this church. I think Silas was 6 years old before he finally got new clothes. He lived in hand-me-downs. All of our boys did. Up to that point, all the other boys had so many gifts, so many hand-me-downs. We're not wealthy, but we are the recipients of holy hospitality, of great gifts of generosity from God's people. We're truly thankful for it. So give generously. The third exercise is don't just stand there, do something. I really wanted to quote that phrase from Nike, but he's a Roman god and that might just mix things up here. But just do it. Just do something. Verse 14 is the sixth time in Titus, this short little book, where Paul urges the believers to do good works. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good, in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives. It's as if he can't conclude the book without one more appeal for the believers to do good work. He used to wonder why he had to tell them so many times in such a short book, but I know exactly why. Well, my guess is that he knew by nature we, as human beings, we're lazy. We're consumed by our own issues. We need those constant reminders because when we do good works, we stand out in that Cretan culture. And did you notice that we must learn to devote ourselves to doing what is good? We need exhortation and exposure and examples, and sometimes we need to have an experiment to find out exactly what good deeds God wants us to do. Sometimes we just got to try something. And the last part of verse 14 can be taken in a couple of different ways. When we are to do what is good, our own daily needs will be met. It's kind of what Matthew 6 is saying. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When we put God and others first, our own necessities will be met. But the other way to understand this phrase is that when we devote ourselves to doing good, we end up providing for the daily needs of others. It's not about us. When we learn to do good deeds, we'll meet pressing needs. When we give, we're given too. Don't get me wrong, this is not some weird karma thing. This is not, we shouldn't even use it for motivation. We need to give. And when we give, others are able to go. You ever notice there are certain times of the year that people just are overflowing with generosity? Christmas time, Thanksgiving, sometimes Easter. They're just overflowing with generosity at those times of year. Well, I'm glad that this church helps out all year round. So if you're looking for something to do, there's lots of things that you can do here. You can volunteer with a local charity. You can offer your services to them. You can fill a shoebox. You could write to our missionaries. You could actually call up Pastor Trevor at Grace Point and say, hey, is there something you can help me do with your church? What do you need help with? I've got all day. What can I help with? You can support hurting families. You can volunteer at places like CPC, at Siloam Mission, UGM. You can donate items to the Salvation Army. You can have someone over for dinner. You can give a special gift to a missionary. You can support a child with World Vision or some other organization. Bring a tin for the bin. Help out with Winnipeg Harvest. You can meet a need anonymously. There are so many ways that we can get involved in other people's lives. Theologian Andrew Murray said this: the deeper our conviction that we have been saved, not of works, but of grace, the stronger the proof that we have indeed been saved for good works. So in order to work as a team, you can't go it alone. We need to give generously, do something. And number four is, this one's so hard, be friendly. Be friendly. We really see Paul's passion for people in verse 15. Everyone with me sends you greetings. Greet those who love us in the faith. He craved to be connected with fellow Christians. He wanted Titus and those in Crete to know that everyone with him was with them. Paul also wanted to make sure that those who love him in the faith were given a special greeting. Did you notice the phrase, greet those, implying that there was more than just Titus he was writing to? This book was intended to be circulated among the churches in the island of Crete. Over 100 different churches on that one island. Years ago now, I went to Kenya and I have fond memories. Fond memories of greeting one another. I remember going into Anne's mother's house. Chris, Walter, you remember this? And you walk into the house and the whole family is there and you have to hug everybody. And as you know, I am not a hugging person, but I didn't care. It was great. You had to embrace everyone. And the same thing when you wanted to leave. You got to get up and you got to hug everybody and say goodbye. It was like the world was ending every time we met. We should be warm towards others, acknowledging them, looking for ways to connect with them. Christians should never be unfriendly because we need each other. Charles Spurgeon once wrote, "The strong are not always vigorous, the wise are not always ready, the brave are not always courageous, the joyous not happy. There may be here and there men of iron, but surely they worry about rust on occasion." Folks, the church is filled with silent sufferers. Look for ways to link our lives with those around us. The first step is to break out of our shells, is just to say hi. And then following Paul's example, work at remembering their names. Get involved in people's lives through ministry partnerships. So I challenge you today, before you leave, will you speak to at least 5 people? Say hi. If you don't know them, get to know them. The last exercise is to be gracious to all. And Paul closes this letter, as he does with all of his letters, with the gift of grace. Grace be with you all. It's as if he can't get over the fact that God saved him from his sins. And he never tires of teaching about grace because he wants everyone to be impacted by the Almighty's unmerited favor. All 13 of his letters, the book of Hebrews, 2 Peter, and Revelation, all end with grace. We are partners in the gospel. Let's work on these team-building principles together. Because you can't go it alone. We need to give generously. Don't just stand there. Do something, folks. Be friendly. Go say hi to someone. Be gracious to everyone. In the summer of 2002, there were 9 miners who were trapped for 3 days in a water-filled mine shaft in Pennsylvania. After an absolutely amazing rescue, the miners said that they had decided early on that they were either going to live or die as a group. The water was 55 degrees and it threatened to kill them slowly by hypothermia. But according to the news reports, they came up with a plan. When one would get cold, the other 8 would surround them. They would huddle around that person and warm that person as best as they could. And when a different person got cold, they would swap out. The favor was returned. Everybody had strong moments, said miner Henry B. Mayhew. He told reporters after being released from hospital, but at any certain time, maybe one guy got down and the rest of us pulled together. And then when that guy got back up, maybe someone else would feel a little bit weaker. But it was a team effort. That's the only way it could have been done. A week after all of the miners had been released from hospital, a special service of worship took place. And at that service, they placed 10 miners' helmets at the front of the church, representing the 9 miners who were in the mine, and the 10th miner being God. They faced hostile conditions together, and they all came out alive. I can't think of a better picture of the body of Christ working together, picking up the one that is faltering, bringing them to the middle, helping them when they need to be warmed up, when they need to be encouraged. The other 9 or the other 8 were there. We have been created to be in community, to work together as a team. Are you feeling trapped or in the dark? Are the walls caving in on you? Is life freezing you out? Well, let us this morning encourage you, to hold you up, to pick you up, to reassure you that God is here and He loves you so much. Because if you haven't heard it yet, Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that He died on the cross for you. He's willing to die and pay the price for your sins. He loves you so much. And folks, we need to love one another, to be gracious to one another, to give generously. If perhaps there is times where we're just standing there and not doing anything, that we would gently give each other a kick in the butt. Gently, gently. Give us that nudge that we need, that encouragement we need. Don't be the guy that's walking behind Jared and kicking his canes out. That doesn't help. Be the one who is there to come alongside and encourage. The only way out is through leaning on God and the family that He has brought together here called Maranatha. Not just Maranatha, but His entire church. An incredible church. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You so much that You have given us Your word, that we have had the ability to learn from this book of Titus, from the encouragement that You gave to him, through Paul, to work as a team. I pray that we here at Maranatha, that we would work as a team, that we would encourage one another, that we would support one another, that we would give generously, that we would be friendly and be gracious to one another. For each one of us will fall at some point. I pray that it would be our brothers or sisters in Christ that would be there to help lift us up and encourage us. Help us to be that type of person. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.